welcome to Urban Forum Northwest with your host, Eddie Rye Jr. We're waiting for attorney Shalee Anderson, but we do have Hayward Evans on, co-convener of the MLK Commemoration and Continuation Committee. As you know, April 4th today is the 56th anniversary of the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was down in Memphis, Tennessee, helping the garbage workers involved with getting equity for workers at that particular time, Black workers, where there's a lot of inequality there. And we commemorate anything dealing with Martin Luther King's name, because we are the only municipality in the country named for Dr. King. This is Martin Luther King Jr. County. And at 5 o'clock, there will be an event at Holgate Street Church of Christ, which is at 2600 South Holgate, right across from Seattle Tennis Center, about two blocks north of Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Park. Several people will be honored and for their work in the community. There will be as a matter of fact, let me get it right now. The people we're speaking of is Miss Loria Yeaton. She is the first woman and first person of color in 140-year history of the greater Seattle YMCA to lead that organization. Katie Garrow is receiving the AFL, and Ms. Yeaton is receiving the Thelma DeWitty Trailblazer Award. Thelma DeWitty was the first Black school teacher in the Seattle School District. Katie Garrow is an MLK labor person. She'll receive the A. Philip Randolph Award for Uniting Workers. And Angelica Fernandez is the director of the State Office of Minority Women Business Enterprise, and she will be presented with the Senator John Ryan Public Servant Award. Senator John Ryan was the first Black elected to the Senate in Washington State in the 30s. And then my friend, Dr. Mike Tooley, is Executive Director of United Indians of All Tribes Foundation, and he'll receive the Edwin T. Pratt Community Leadership Award. Edwin T. Pratt was the leader of the Seattle Urban League, and when we finally got open housing, he moved out to the Shoreline area and was assassinated. His killers were never found, and they tried to blame two guys who were dead, but you know how that works. I'm really impressed with United Indians of All Tribes. One of the founders, Bernie Whitebeard, is a real good friend of mine and worked closely with Larry Gossett, Roberto Maestas, and Bob Santos. They have a publication called A Gang of Four. And then last but not least is Carolyn Riley Payne, the immediate past president of the Seattle King County NAACP. She's getting the George Washington Bush Lifetime Achievement Award. Carolyn Riley Payne led the Seattle NAACP AXO program, Afrocultural Technological Scientific Olympics, for almost 40 years from the inception of the program up until about 4 or 5 years ago. So we have some people who really have been doing some things. And I see my co-convener is still on the phone. So we're going to go ahead and go to Bob. Bob, I want you on a little later because you have a lot to say. But we're going to go ahead and start with the general manager of King County Metro, Michelle Allison. So, Michelle, first, congratulations for having a big-time job. I don't know how long you've been there, but it seems like a heck of a responsibility. Why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about how many employees they have, how many buses you have, and exactly what parts of King County do you cover?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on the show, and congratulations for the big day and the celebrations ahead later this afternoon. I am about a year in this job, so still figuring my way through it, but King County Metro is such a service that the region depends on every single day. We have over 5,000 employees. We have over 3,200 of them in our bus operation space. We provide service to hundreds of thousands of riders a day, millions of riders a week, all day long. We consider ourselves a 24/7 operations. We provide predominantly the bus service that people know well in this region that connects people throughout all the four corners of the county. But King County Metro also provides and operates the light rail service. So as people are celebrating the launch of Link Light Rail, we are the power behind those trains. So our employees provide that service as well. We also, not quite as well known, but we also have a water taxi service that connects Vashon and West Seattle to the waterfront. And we have a really robust van pool and also one of the larger access systems, which provides paratransit service to people of King County as well.
Now, before you assume that position, you were already at Metro?
I've been at King County as a whole for 13 years and Metro for 7. So I started my job as an intern. This is where I want to make a plug for everyone out there. Take that paid internship. You'll never know what could happen to your career and your opportunities. But I started out on the legislative side, working on transportation and land use planning, and really fell in love with the idea of service delivery and really saw Metro as one of the key ways that people engage with the county. And I wanted to find my way and to see what it was like building that beautiful policy and how do you actually get it operationalized to do what you want to do to make your community stronger, more robust, more equitable. That's what King County is all about. And one of the best ways to do it is through transit.
Now, there's a big push about the environmental buses, and King County Metro got rid of all their diesel buses, or are they burning on gas that don't pollute now? How's that?
We're in a process. We have a zero emissions program, and our work started well before electrification was a part of the transportation infrastructure. We have been working serving our region through hybrid coaches. We were one of the first regions to have a hybrid fleet. We also have a really robust trolley system that you can see in the downtown core. And through our zero emission program, we're working to become all electric or zero emission by 2035. So we're currently onboarding zero emission fleets right now. And to get to the point that you made at the beginning, we're deliberately choosing where to site these coaches to those neighborhoods that has historically carried the burden of pollutants in our region more than any others. We know that we have sited infrastructure like freight and other pollutants in the southern parts of King County more than any others. So those communities, which traditionally have been underserved, lower income, have had worse air quality, and their life outcomes and their public health outcomes have reflected that. So we are doing our part because we know that pollutants from transportation are a significant part of dirty air. And so we're siting our electrification resources in those neighborhoods that have those worse air quality, so we can try to turn the tide the fastest for those communities who historically have carried the burden of other decisions.
Now, it's King County International Airport. Whose jurisdiction is that under?
That's not mine, but it is under King County. So there, it's in a different branch, but the same government oversight.
Okay.
So I can phone a friend if you ever need me to. Just let me know.
And how many people do you have? Do you have full and part-time bus drivers?
Yeah, that's right. Our profile, we have, so currently we have just around 2,200 operators. We need to be closer to 3,200 operators. And so we're working right now. We have a mixture of part-time and full-time. It's a great way to get your foot in the door here at King County and provide that service. They're very good jobs, very stable jobs, and you can choose. If you want it part-time, and we've got lots of folks who are artists or musicians or caretakers, and so they really only want to work a certain number of hours a day, we have the flexibility to do that, all the way to providing a more all-day job for people who want to work full-time. We have that too.
So what are the salary ranges for bus drivers? Are they all the same, or is there gradual increments?
It's gradual increments. The longer you stay, the more you're going to get paid. Well represented through ATU. We just ratified a contract last year with ATU that puts our operators at one of the highest pay ranges in the nation. So we know we are an expensive region to live in. We want to be an employer of choice. We want you to stay with us for 30 years. And so we're going to make it valuable for you. We're going to train you. We're going to help you get your CDL certification, and then we're going to give you that good paying wage with a pension, with health benefits. Those are not things that people say a lot these days in one sentence, but we are proud to, and we want you to come work for us and with us.
What is the starting salary?
At 36, I believe. And it's a little
Sean
bit.
Sean Hawks knows, right?
Huh?
Sean Hawks knows, doesn't he?
Sean Hawks, I know, right? You can see that card.
I figure he had your back.
He totally does.
I enjoyed working with him. He's a good guy. I enjoyed working with him.
Thank you.
I first saw his name. I said, who's this Seahawks guy called?
I know. He probably gets that a lot, doesn't he? Yes. Yeah. And you you will get a little bit more certainty in your pay scale depending on if you start part-time or full-time.
Okay. And I was trying to figure out that you guys have, the water taxi.
Yeah.
Is that just goes in one direction? How does that work?
Yeah, their water taxi is two routes. So we have an all-day network that goes from West Seattle to downtown. And then we also have a commute service that goes to Vashon during your peak trips. Monday through Friday.
So it's Monday through Friday, not on the weekends.
Nope.
Now, was there a discussion about having a water trolley from West Seattle to downtown? Is that still on, or is that under the ferry system?
That's under the ferry system, I believe. We're not, that's not a conversation we're part of.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners that I haven't raised with you in terms of any kind of information or questions?
I think it's on this day, especially as Sound Transit, our partner agency, is announcing the launch date of their Link Light Rail system later this fall, and with what we know is going to be exciting launch of the Starter line. I also just want to make note of the G line that's opening for us. That's a bus rapid transit service that serves the Central District, mainly the Madison corridor, all the way to downtown. Bus rapid transit. So you're going to have a lot of frequency. Don't need to worry about a schedule. We're going to make a lot of those connections for you, save you some time on your trip. These are really transformational programs for the region. We believe in transit as a human right. We believe everyone should have access to transit because it creates access and opportunity to the rest of the county, and it should be done equitably. And this region this year gets to see a lot of those decades-long commitment really come online and provide more opportunity to more people. I also want to plug, if you're a youth, get on transit. It's free. See how many places we can connect you to. It is going to be a great asset to your opportunities. So please consider us when you're thinking about all the different spaces you want to go check out.
All right, Michelle, I certainly appreciate the information. I'm sure my listeners do as well. And as I indicated earlier, in a couple of hours, Eric, operations manager at KKNW, will have this up online and on Alexa so that people can hear your interviews and get the information that you've dispensed on the program today, this afternoon. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks, Sean Hawks, once again for coordinating everything. We appreciate him.
Sure, well,
And,
it was great to spend time with you all. And yeah, have a
If
wonderful
anything
rest of
comes
the
up,
trip.
you let if anything comes up, you need to get something on the air, please let me know. I
Absolutely, love
see
to do
on the
that.
bus we have, and I told Sean, I say, I see on the bus, Black Lives Matter.
That's
I talk
right.
about Black voices matter.
Just
So
as much, if not
I
more, so let's
know,
keep talking.
that's a bid for a sponsorship.
You
We'll get you guys for Martin Luther King or something one of these days.
absolutely will. We're looking forward to it.
Okay, thank you very much,
Thank
Michelle.
you
I appreciate
much.
you.
Have a good
Thank you
afternoon.
much. Seahawks, Sean Hawks, thank you too. All right. Okay, we'll just go to Hayward. Got a quick update on the program. Then we go to Bob. Bob, I changed your time. I guess I don't know if you saw my text or not, but we had to switch up times. But anyway, Hayward, give us an update on the program before we go to Bob Armstead.
Well, to the listenerships, you know you're all invited today, 5 o'clock, Holgate Street Church, 2600 block on Holgate Street, just 2 blocks north of Martin Luther King Jr. Civil Rights Memorial Park. It's going to begin at 5 o'clock, and I'm real excited about it because we had them last time, Catfish Corner, and hopefully Ezo's Chicken are going to be catering the event today. You know, everything is free, but we're going to have a meal between 5 and 6 o'clock. 6:02 is when Dr. King was assassinated, and because of that, it's 6:02, and it's been 56 years today. So at 6:02, the church is going to ring the bell 56 times in remembrance of Dr. King and his assassination. At that point, the program will leave the area that we're eating and will go into the sanctuary. We have some, and you mentioned them earlier, Eddie, we have some fantastic people who are the award recipients. And I'm proud of the fact that all the awards have been named after local Black people who've made significant contributions in the state of Washington. An example would be Carolyn Riley Payne. And if anybody knows her, she's been around the NAACP forever, past president. I would call her the queen of AXL in this region, the number of years she put in. But she's going to be getting the Lifetime Achievement Award and is named after George Washington Bush. So if you come, you'll be able to see the program and summarize the statement, but it shows that it was a Black settlement that was instrumental in Washington State becoming a state when the United States was negotiating with the British. The first recognized settlement in the state of Washington was by a Black man. And so the award is named after him. I hope one day we can get a monument down in the
At the beginning of the program, I went over all the awardees and who they were named for. So I did that one already. I want you to just go into some more details about who some of the presenters were and stuff like that.
With some of the presenters, like for the Trailblazer Award, that one is being presented by Representative Sharon D'Amico Santos, And then the award for Kate Garrow for the unions, and she's Secretary Treasurer for King County Labor. She's getting the award from the Vice President of A. Philip Randolph because the President Gabriel's out of town. But also Claude Berfect, who's on the Executive Committee for King County Labor. Going down, and Eddie, you're going to be presenting the award to Dr. Mike Turley, right? Tooley.
Yeah, right. So
You were there taking over that facility in order to, which is now home for the United Indian Tribe Foundation. Then after that, who's that? Oh, then after that, we have well, it was supposed to be Bob. I know, Bob, how's your back? But you were going to be giving the award to the director of the Office of Minority and Women Business Enterprises, Lenika. What's your last Fernandez, correct, Eddie?
Yeah, Lenika Fernandez.
Lenika Fernandez was going to be Bob giving the award since he's president of the Washington State chapter of the Minority Contractors Association. And then after that is the Lifetime Achievement Award. And again, who do we have giving that award? I don't have my notes in front of me.
For Carolyn Riley Fain?
Yes.
It was Daryl Powell and Tony Anderson. Yeah. The current Darryl president Powell. Of the NAACP and the area conference for Washington, Oregon, Alaska. That's Dr. Shalee Anderson.
He's the president. So we have some fantastic people. This is going to be a fabulous event. And I'm encouraging all the listenership to come out and enjoy yourself, have a good time, great food, and great people.
Okay, now we want to go to the president of the Washington State Chapter of the National Association of Minority Contractors. They have a meeting today from 5 to 6:30, and they'll have to see a recording of activities at Holgate Street Church of Christ. So, Bob, why don't you share with that? I put the wrong email, the wrong website address up, but Stephanie Ogle, my lady that does my technology, corrected that and got out the right information. So why don't you share with our listeners a little bit what they can expect? Because we know that there's piles of money for houses of worship as well as nonprofit organizations, and it's more than one pot. So if you could share that with our listeners, it would be very helpful.
Okay, Eddie, and I'd like to start by giving a little background. The National Association of Minority Contractors will be celebrating its 55th year this year. NAMAC, as we're called, was started, like several other organizations were started, in the wake of the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was in Tennessee promoting jobs and contracts, and that is what our founders wanted to continue in the construction industry. This evening, we have our monthly meeting that starts at 5 o'clock. Access to the meeting can be through our website, namcwa.com. Access to the meeting is at the top of the website, so you can just go there and immediately access the meeting. We are very fortunate today to have as our presenter, Michael Forrester, who is the Principal Deputy Director of the U.S. Department of Energy State and Community Programs. It is his office that is providing the monies to the Department of Commerce for most, not all, of the energy funding that's available through the Department of Commerce, through their energy division. Projects like clean buildings, weatherization, funds that are specifically there for energy improvement at houses of worship, and the list goes on and on. It is important for as many of your listeners as possible to be a part of this meeting so you can hear directly from the federal agency that is providing the funding to the Department of Commerce, the programs that they are intended for those funds to address, and specifically for us and your audience, There are requirements that underserved and not previously served communities have access to this funding. And we have been working with the U.S. Department of Energy, the Washington State Department of Commerce, and their Energy Division to help identify, you know, our communities, our organizations in the communities, be they religious or nonprofit or for-profit, like many of our members are in the construction industry. This funding, so far, the state of Washington, well, our last information regarding the status of funding from, say, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act into Washington State is over $8.2 billion. That those funds are going to transportation as well as energy and other efforts. But it is important for us to help those in our community, and you do a great job of this, Eddie, know about these programs and the funding availability so that they can partake of this funding. This is the largest funding for infrastructure and other public projects in the United States in the last 50 years. And there's a lot of money. The money will be spent. We have to make sure that portions of it are spent in our communities, with our churches, with our organizations, with our contractors. And the first way to do that is by helping the community become aware of the availability of these programs and this funding. And secondly, to help when necessary, connect them with the state agency or the state department that is responsible for these programs so that they can be included in their procurement processes. This evening, again, is very important so that we can hear from the federal agency that is providing these energy funds into Washington State so that we know when we have discussions with the Washington State recipients of these fundings, we will have some background and information relative to what these programs are, what their intent and purpose is, and so we can determine how we can position our community to participate.
Now, Bob, this meeting will be recorded, right? So people can see it at another time on NMCY website?
Yes, it will.
Okay, I want to make sure of that because they might have some of the people that would be interested might be at Holgate Street Church of Christ. So I want to let people know that they can see it at a later time if there's any reason that they can't see attend at Thursday today at 5 o'clock. And you go to namcy.com and you can access the code is right up there and you can access this meeting. Well, Bob, you guys have done an excellent job in getting the information out. And also we've been getting information on the money that's come in. You've done a good job of doing that. And now we need to see where the money is going in our neighborhoods. So I just wanted to make sure that we also had that. Is there anything else you'd like to say about NAMC? I know we've been fighting for equity and filing complaints with half the community involved and not hearing very much back. Hopefully we'll get some information back from Congressman Adam Smith and Senator Patty Murray's office on the status of things.
Yeah. Well, as the primary intent and purpose of NAMAC is to be an advocacy arm for the community. And that includes many things. Specifically in reference to your comment, when necessary, we file complaints or file lawsuits or whatever is necessary to ensure that benefits that are supposedly going to our communities to address problems are in fact going to our communities. It is important, lastly, for your audience to know that the investment, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, the Community Benefits Program, and the Justice 40 Initiative have specific requirements in that funding that monies be spent in our communities, in our neighborhoods, with our businesses, with our churches, with our nonprofits, because it is documented that we have not been included in the past.
Well, Bob, that's some great advocacy, because I know that I've had quite a few calls myself about people going to get information, and a couple of folks want to know, will this be documented and recorded so we can see it at a different time? And the other thing, too, is that the pastors aren't going to lie. People who are responsible for maintaining the church or writing the proposals, those are the people you need to have on the call as well, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone that's representing the church, specifically those that have responsibilities for facilities and those kinds of things, it's a fact that our churches have to pay for energy costs, whether it's heating or cooling. All of those things are part of their budgets. If there's an opportunity for them to get assistance with that so that they can direct their funding to other things, we want to make sure that happens.
Okay, hold on for 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend Port Gen workshops to learn how to do business with the Port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.org. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
At Sound Transit, we not only connect more people to more places, we're making life better for all. We're connecting diverse neighborhoods to an entire region of opportunities, like jobs and school. If you have an Orca card, you can just tap and go. We have reduced fares for seniors and riders with disabilities. For adults with lower incomes, check out Orca Lift and pay just a dollar for your ride. To plan your trip or to learn more, visit us at soundtransit.org.
Alternative Talk 1150, the talk of the sound.
I want to thank SeaTac Bar Group, LLC. They own the African Lounge and Mountain Room Bar on Concourse A, at least for the time being. Sound Transit's Office of Civil Rights, Equity, and Inclusion. The City of Seattle's Purchase and Construction Services Department. The Port of Seattle's Diversity Contracting Office. And also want to let people know that Dr. Quentin Morris, Key to Change, is having a fundraiser on Sunday at Benaroya Hall at 2 o'clock p.m., and they will be honoring Dr. Sheila Edwards Lang. And I guess the people in Dr. Quentin Morris's program have been doing outstanding work. And then on a sad note, Morris Horton, the son of Miss Elmer Horton, well-known in the city of Seattle, has passed away, and his funeral service will be on Saturday at noon at the Mount Zion Baptist Church. And Hayward, that leads us up to the speaker for tonight at Holgate Street Church of Christ, because we know that in 1961, it was Reverend Dr. Samuel Berry McKinney and the Mount Zion Brotherhood that was responsible for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s only visit to Seattle. And it was in November, and Reverend Lanisha de Bartleben through the Northwest African American Museum made sure that the 60th anniversary was celebrated by bringing Martin Luther King III and others up to commemorate that visit. So our speaker is who, Hayward Evans?
Reverend Dr. Paris Smith. Reverend Dr. Paris Smith, he's the senior pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church. And I've heard him before. He's pretty darn dynamic. And I think people should come out just to hear him. He's absolutely great. And so, again, he will be our keynote speaker this evening. The senior pastor of Mount Zion, because Reverend McKinney is the one who invited Martin Luther King here. They were classmates at Morehouse. So I think it's great.
For a year, because Martin Luther King was 15. Reverend McKinney was 18. The next year, Reverend McKinney got drafted in the World War
got
II.
Got drafted.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but he was responsible for Dr. King's only visit here. And it was good that that the 60th anniversary was really the wisdom of Lanisha Day Bartley Band by bringing up Martin Luther King III and actually having 3 days of events. And when Dr. King came here, not only did he see, he was going to speak at a big church downtown. They withdrew the invitation. So he spoke at the Eagles downtown. He also spoke at Temple D. Hirsch, two assemblies at Garfield High School. And then someone arranged for him to speak at the University of Washington. So he made quite an impact while he was here. And then, as we all know, the real work got started or continued until we got Black people got our civil rights in 64. And I think it was a direct result of the organizing of the civil rights leaders, Bayard Rustin, A. Philip Randolph, and the Urban League folks, Whitney Young, the NAACP presidents at that time, Roy Wilkins, 250,000 people in 63, nonviolent protests. The next year, because of that, Lyndon Baines Johnson, President Lyndon B. Johnson, signed the Civil Rights Act of 64, which granted Black people in America their civil rights. And the next year, our Voting Rights Act, 1965. And as everybody knows right now, forces are out there that's trying to attack the rights that we've gained. We didn't just gain them, we earned them. And like I tell people, why don't Black ones preferential treatment? If you're an African descendant of the United States enslaved, the folks who've been here 400 years, that's died in every war, there's 250 years of slave labor, free labor, made America a economic power. And then you consider the fact that all these wars that we've died in, most recently, three National Guards troops from Georgia died over in Jordan. And I still say today, Black folks don't need to be all around the world defending everybody else's freedom when their freedom is under attack right here. And we need to bring that muscle back here because there's some sinister forces out there that's trying to do us some harm.
Well, I love it because of Dr. Carver Gate. Remember Carver? He met Martin Luther King at Garfield. And he said it had such a profound impact on him and helped launch his career even further than it was then. So I love when he tells that story about him meeting Dr. King.
Well, you know, who else was an audience as a student, as a sophomore, was Larry Gossett.
Larry Gossett.
Before he left the Bulldogs and became a Quaker. But, so we know what Larry did. Eric, why don't we just take this other break now and see if we get Congresswoman Waters on.
At Sound Transit, we not only give people more reliable ways to get around, we're connecting diverse neighborhoods to an entire system of opportunities like jobs, school, friends and family, and to the airport. Our commitment to economic development provides opportunities for women and people of color to compete fairly for Sound Transit contracts. All of this helps our regional workforce grow and thrive. Go to soundtransit.org and search DBE to learn more.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend Port Gen workshops to learn how to do business with the port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.com. seattletacoma.org. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
Bored with the other stations hammering away on the same old talking points? Try alternative talk 1150 and get some variety.
Yeah, Congresswoman Waters, Eddie Rye, how you doing, ma'am?
I'm fine, Eddie Rye. How are you doing?
Good. I'm even better now. I got you on the air because our people need some motivation and some enthusiasm, and they need to know how to wake up like you, ready to take care of business.
Right. Well, I'm always pleased to be on with you. And, of course, I had Angela on a program with me for Women's History Month, and it was excellent. It got lots of response. And so you ought to be proud of the work that she's doing and the impact that she's having. And I'm pleased to be with you, her daddy, today.
Well, you know what? People need to understand that Angela's third year at law school as assistant vice president for the National Black Law Students Association for the Western Region got an externship in your Los Angeles office. And that's why people say, Angela acts like Congresswoman Maxine Waters. I said, well, she has some good training. Well, so, Congressman Waters, I wanted to ask you, how are things getting done with a dysfunctional Congress that we're dealing with?
Well, if you've been keeping up with the news at all, you know that it is not only dysfunctional, it is chaotic, and it is dangerous in the way that it's attempting to literally take over government. And so we are absolutely organized on the Democratic side. We're sticking together. We have a great leader in Hakeem Jeffries. And so we are standing up against them. And in the latest struggle that we had, where we had to enter into the negotiations to keep the government from shutting down, we were able to do that without their help. And so Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is, you know, the crazy one over there, has decided that they're going to take out the leader, the speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, because he cooperated with us in our attempt to get the budget done. And we did get the budget done. We avoided a shutdown. And she now is talking about a motion to try and remove him from office. We keep going. We keep working for the people. We keep our eye on the prize. And we understand that if, in fact, the people of this country are going to be served by the members that they send to Congress, that we cannot resist, we cannot be intimidated, we have to keep struggling, we have to keep fighting. We were able to get the speaker, who is a right-wing conservative, to understand that he was going to be blamed for shutting down the government. And he folded, and we were able to get it done. And now his job is at stake.
And it's going to, outside of the country. The leader of Israel's consistent, flagrant disregard for human life. What can, you know, and I understand President Biden is talking about sending some more weapons. And these weapons are killing people in Gaza that look like me. What can be done to encourage the president to take a harder stand against Netanyahu?
I think Biden is doing everything that he can do. He has indicated that they understand the long-time connection between the United States and Israel, and he is for humanitarian support for Gaza, and he's been trying to encourage him not only to let the humanitarian support through, but to stop the bombing of Gaza. One of the things that we know is that there is revenge that he is doing. Netanyahu is leading the war based on revenge because of what happened on October 7th when Israelis were killed and some were taken hostage. But now what you have, I think it was 107 that were killed. He will not consider that it's time to stop. As a matter of fact, 33,000 Palestinians have been killed, with almost a third of them are children. And the world is getting very impatient with Netanyahu, and some of the Israelis in Israel are getting very impatient with Netanyahu, and they're calling for elections. And the president is doing everything that he can to say to Netanyahu, I've been your friend, but you are crossing over the red line, and you have got to pull back on this war. So let's see what happens over the next few days. But the president is doing everything that he possibly can. And I think what he has done is slowed down in the attack on Rafah. Rafah is an area that the Palestinians have been driven to with nowhere to go, no exit out, et cetera. And so I believe that that has been slowed down. I'm not sure. I have to check. But the president is doing everything that he possibly can.
You know, I'm one of the co-founders of the Washington State Chapter of the National Association of Marine Contractors. And we had 22 people filed a complaint with Attorney General Merrick Garland October 23rd, 2021. He sent a letter back saying, well, the Department of Transportation will investigate your complaint. We had letters from Senator Patty Murray, Congressman Adam Smith, Congressman Benny Thompson, and also from later on from Congressman Marilyn Strickland. We sent the national president, Wendell Stanley, who's in San Diego, and our state president sent another letter with copies of those four members of Congress's letters attached to their letter. We got the same thing back. The Department of Transportation is going to be investigating this. It's been 2 years. Billions of dollars are coming through Washington State, and Black folks are not participating hardly at all. And I was just wondering, what can we do? We went to Patty Murray and Congressman Adam Smith again, seeing if there's anything they could do. But Merrick Garland just seems to be slow out the box when it comes down to investigating racial discrimination complaints where Black folks are concerned. I was just curious to know, am I off base, or do you have any documentation or heard anything that would be change my mind on that?
No, and you're probably talking about the contracts that are supposed to be available under the infrastructure bill. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. Infrastructure, Justice 40. There's a lot of programs out there, and we're not doing very well. Our numbers are less than 1%. As a matter of fact, it's so bad that our Department of Transportation have a 1% goal for African Americans. To give you an idea, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, all the prime contractors hire their own inclusion consultant. They're going to do what I say if I'm signing your check. Anyway, 10 Black truckers who are not working were invited to this meeting for opportunity with Graham Construction. They get to the meeting and the guy starts talking, and one of the brothers is in the business. And he monitors stuff real closely. He says, this contract's already been awarded to a guy by the Grady Trucking. And here are these 10 people going in there with hope that there might be an opportunity on something that's already been awarded. And then our attorney general, who's running for governor, his office says, our Office of Minority Business Enterprise decertified the guy. He was self-certified, obviously falsified his application. He's still working. And the attorney general says he can recertify after he commits fraud. If he's a brother, he'd be under the jail.
Well, let me just tell you that you are identifying a problem that some of us are working on now in different ways. And the problem is that whether it is response to requests for proposal and whether it's in transportation or other agencies of government, the way that they are being written and executed basically eliminates us from being able to travel and to be able to negotiate what we think we are eligible for. We are not getting the procurement opportunities with government. This needs to rise to the level of a confrontation with the President of the United States, whom we support. We support Biden, but we've got to get a credible response for the involvement of people of color in the procurement opportunities of government. And you have hit it right on the head. We're working with it on charging stations right now in California. And it's time for the Black Caucus, the Latino Caucus, the Tri-Caucus, to take a lead, and everybody can get together and have a meeting with the president. And so now that you are again bringing it to our attention, I'm going to, when we get back, take the overall issue to the Black Caucus and talk about we've got to get more vocal and more of advocates on procurement opportunities with government. It's not working for our community. And when we talk about filling the wealth gap, it'll never happen. It'll never happen unless these opportunities are opened up. When you take a look at some of the richest people in this country, it is because they've had access to government money.
That's like Elon Musk bringing apartheid to the United States of America. And I've been telling some of my friends thinking about buying a Tesla, please don't go ahead and invest in your own oppression. But anyway, but Congressman Waters, sound like you got a little cold there, and I want you to get well. You guys go back to D.C. You reconvene next Monday. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to send your office a copy of this complaint along with the last letter that went to Merrick Garland and Pete Buttigieg. And you would think that having the chair of the House Armed Services Committee, the chair of the Homeland Security Committee, our Congresswoman, Marilyn Strickland, and the second-ranking senator, you would think that would get someone's attention. But I guess when it comes to us, it don't matter who we have. So I'm going to just have to be called on Jesus. That's all I know.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a good one to call on, but we got to do some work with them.
Okay. I want to make sure you have our information, okay, too, Congressman Waters. You get well, and thank you very much for all that you do.
All right. Thank you.
All right. All right. I think my nephew, Gerald Jones, he has a transportation service in California, and I think that was his phone that called in. So, Hayward, are you still on your phone? We're waiting for Daryl Powell to call in, the NAACP. 5 o'clock at Holgate Street Church of Christ, 2600 South Holgate, and Martin Luther King Jr. Way South. We'll be observing the 56th anniversary of the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And there will be also a reception along with some people who will be honored for their work. And we're inviting the community to come out and participate in that service and also that memory. Hayward, we're going to have Butch Anderson, Chandler Williams. Jayza got sick. She will not be there. She's on the program. And also, I want to thank my co-MC, who's going to be Ms. Chardonnay Bieber.
Amen. And worst case scenario, for everybody out there, the listenership, 602, just take the time and just stop for a minute. That's when Dr. King was assassinated. And think about your loved ones in your life who've had a positive impact on you. Think about them at that time and just pull together everything. Because, look, the struggle ain't over. We have a long way to go. And the fight is getting tougher and tougher every day. So it's just time for us to reflect and then move forward. And hopefully you're going to be out this evening because these are some great, great award recipients, really great people.
Well, I was encouraged to hear the comments from Congresswoman Maxine Waters about African-American involvement in the infrastructure money and the other pots of federal money that we've been denied and being left out of while individuals who are less deserving have been able to walk in and get in, and even after they have been decertified, they're Daryl Powell's on the line. How you, Mr. Daryl, are you on?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
Let's go, man. We are almost out of time, brother. We got 4 minutes before we close. So go right ahead. Daryl Powell, president of the Seattle King County Branch of the NAACP, and my friend, let us know what's happening, and we're gonna see you at 5 o'clock at Holgate Street Church of Christ.
Absolutely. So let you know what's happened with respect to what's going on with the NAACP. So one of the big things that's going on is right now, the state of Washington has opened up grants for up to $200 million. It's called the Community Reinvestment Plan. This $200 million is being distributed to four tranches: economic development, prison reentry, youth intervention, and legal assistance for those who need like driver's license and records expunged. Those dollars, contracts are being let right now from the Department of Commerce. And interesting enough, those dollars were fought for and got by a set of community advocates specifically the NAACP. So we're proud of that accomplishment. Those dollars were actually won in the 2022 legislative session. They are just now being let in contracts out of the Department of Commerce. So we're excited about there's $200 million that's going into the community for us, by us. And so if you are a business, you should go to the Washington State Department of Commerce website and put in the search Community Reinvestment Plan, and you will see all the grants that are available for our community in those four tranches that I talked about. So exciting times. One of the other things we're doing, you know, there's an organization called Pacific Coast Banking School, and Pacific Coast Banking School is like the, I'll say, the Harvard of banking out west here. And it takes a C-level or mid-level bankers and puts them through a two-year program, and they come out with this, I'll call it an MBA in banking. And as a result, those will be the folks that will have an opportunity to move up to C-level suites in the banking industry. Well, like a lot of industries, African-Americans are not well represented in some of these spaces. The NAACP has now a deal with Pacific Coast Banking School that 1 to 3 applicants per year based on our ability to recruit the type of applicant, provide a level of support service that they will make available to their program with some form of scholarship supported by Pacific Coast Banking School and the NAACP.
Can you give us the information, because we're just about out of time. We got to have you back on for more time than this, brother. But anyway, give us the documentation or where people can go and get the information. And they can see you at Holgate Street Church of Christ at 5 o'clock.
But absolutely.
Give us the other information.
I sure will. So Washington State Department of Commerce website, and then search Washington Community Reinvestment Plan.
And the NAACP's website is what?
It's Seattle, King County, NAACP.org. Please go join. Hit the join button.
Okay, thanks, Gerald. We'll have you back on for more time, at least a quarterly meeting. So thank you all very much. See you at 5 o'clock.
Thank you so much.